Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
So to give you an idea of how sold Adam Malnati is on Joe Flacco, he's wearing an elite hoodie sweatshirt.
Hey, actually, Em, I sort of. Now, wait a minute. Let me explain. That's not fair, first of all. Second of all, the colors are sort of right as well because it's purple. Because that's the school colors. Our school colors are purple and I feel a little on the spot here. That's messed up. Our eighth grade team is the Elite Eight. Very original. Right? Nobody's ever thought of saying something like that for the eighth graders in their school. I don't know where this person who came up with it came up with it. Welcome to March Madness, I suppose. But yes, this is our, I am wearing an Elite Eight shirt. You forgot the eight that's in purple that's harder for you to see. I get it. And Joe's going to wear five. He's Elite Five. That's not alliteration. There's no flow to that. There's nothing poetic. And I'm not, I don't even want to get into the debate about whether or not he's elite. I can't believe you started like that. Just plopped it out there and expected it to perform. I mean.
I did, and it did.
It did, and I was totally flustered. Totally.
You were caught off guard.
I was.
Just like John Fox.
I was John Foxed.
So I think.
You could say you outfoxed me there.
I did. So I think this is a good point to talk about where that catchphrase comes from, because there are people who brought up that they wondered why we say it and where it comes from. And it is an actual John Fox quote. The only thing that we changed is we changed flop to plop. John Fox said, flop it out there. We made it better, like Gary Kubiak when John Fox was fired. We were Gary Kubiak and we made it better.
We did. You know, plop has several connotations. There's the horse dropping sound of the plop of the manure. And then other connotations that you can certainly read into it as well. I don't know if I like the comparison to Gary Kubiak because it almost means we have to be replaced by Vance Joseph at some point. I mean, that's not good.
Well, just in the sense that we made something John Fox had, we just made it better.
We made it better.
It's not that we're going to go away, although some people would be happy about that.
Who are those people? If you're one of those people that wants us to go away, go ahead and tweet at us. Just throw it out there. At Ian St. Clair, at Adam All 9016, throw me a tweet that says you'd like me to go away. I'm curious who you are.
And I'm not going to.
I appreciate that.
But so that's where it comes from. And I want to know, I asked a couple of people on Twitter. We had a listener say that he would love it if we did a shirt.
That's right.
That just plop it out there and expect it to perform. I want to know, to all the listeners around the world, would you want that shirt? I want to know, should we go with Breaking Tea? Should I make the pitch to Breaking Tea and say, there's a market for this, let's do it, plop it out there and expect it to perform? Because MHR Radio.
We could actually plop it out there and expect it to perform, and that would be cool. So
it would be. So I'm plopping it out there and asking everyone else, should it perform?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, you know, and I think it's a fun saying. We've had a lot of fun with it. If people want that on a shirt and they'd buy it, I think that's great. I think that'd be very cool. But let's pivot to the term elite, because Joe Flacco called himself elite. I think that's really where that came from. But today, which is Wednesday, March 20th, is a day of remembrance. It's an anniversary of the announcing and the introduction of Peyton Manning as the Broncos' next starting quarterback, 7 years ago. Is that right? Did I get the number right? Seven. Oh, the great number seven there. I like how that worked out.
That's why we're talking about it.
Which is why we're talking about it. Absolutely. And, you know, you brought it up, and I guess I'll go ahead and jump in first on it. It was one of those things. I remember the buildup to, or I guess maybe we should call it the chase. There was a chase for Peyton Manning. I remember Arizona was in on Peyton Manning. I remember he was visiting different teams, and he was having different GMs were coming to him and talking to him. And as I recall, this was the reason I got on Twitter, because I wanted to be able to follow what was going on in real time. And Twitter was the quickest way to get information from, you know, different reporters and different bloggers who knew what was going on and things like that. And that is why I followed Twitter. And then to have Peyton Manning be introduced, that era of Bronco football is one of the best eras in football history, period, for any franchise. And as a lifelong fan, to me, that was one of those things that it was fun to watch them chase him down. And when they finally introduced him as the next starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, that was a great moment. That was a great moment in Broncos history. It's one of those things that we will, as fans, never forget because of what it led to. The greatest offense in the history of the game, and then eventually the greatest defense in the history of the game, or one of the greatest, that goes on to win a Super Bowl and allows him to ride off into the sunset, a la John Elway, sort of, you know, the same sort of, you know, a player helped carry him over across the finish line as well. I think it was a great story, and it all sort of started 7 years ago today.
I think what I remember is, obviously, I was over the moon, because at the time I was the features writer for the Wyoming Tribune Eagle in Cheyenne, and I wrote the column that ran on the front page of the newspaper that next day when it came out that he was going to sign with the Broncos. So that was a couple of days before he was introduced in that news conference. But I'll never forget my lead. When John Elway got the news, he Tebowed. And I think everyone who got the news Tebowed, because that was the end of Tim Tebow. But there was still that pause. There was that optimistic, but it was, yeah, but we don't know. Because there was still that unknown about his neck. And not until that first game against Pittsburgh to open the season did we finally know that the sheriff was indeed back. But I think about that moment, it wasn't just Peyton Manning being introduced as the next head coach or the next quarterback of the Denver Broncos and all that would come with it. I mean, because it was a fun, a magical, historical ride that he took Broncos country on. But it was also the images of Pat Bowlen still being there and John Elway being there. And it just, it brings fans back to a time that they, especially the younger ones, wished that they could have stayed in. And we were fortunate because we grew up with John Elway. So we had both John Elway and then Peyton Manning. And that's going to lead into where we go next. And but between our last show and this one, Joe Flacco was introduced as the next quarterback of the Denver Broncos. He had his news conference after the bomb cyclone. So it would have been last Friday.
Yep, last Friday.
What stood out to me was how confident he is, how poised he is, and how you can tell he's been the guy. You can tell he has been the guy. And others have mentioned this, and I said this in the horse tracks that I wrote on Sunday. When you compare that to Case Keenum's first news conference as the guy, you didn't get that sense. It was awkward. It felt weird. And I'm not saying that this is going to lead to success. I'm not saying that Joe Flacco is going to have a similar run that Peyton Manning had, although he is 2 years younger than Peyton Manning, and he isn't coming off
the neck surgery,
a neck injury that kept him out a whole year. But I like the fact that he is confident, that he's determined, and that he's been the guy, and he wants to be the guy. I think the quote that will stick out for me is that he wants to show the organization, but more importantly, his teammates, that he's the guy.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the first step.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the excitement around Joe Flacco is not the same as the excitement that was sort of flying around with Peyton Manning. And even with the sort of apprehension of what was going on with Peyton Manning's neck and that injury and everything, it was still Peyton effing Manning, right? I mean, it was PFM. And so having sort of that hope that he brought with him is a lot different than what you're seeing with Joe Flacco. I don't have a decision made one way or the other about, do I think this is a good move or a bad move? I think it's a better move than Case Keenum was. I think it's an improvement at the quarterback position. How great of an improvement, I don't know. But there is a sense of when you watch people and you can see how they act and you can see how they carry themselves and the way that they present themselves. I think you're right. Case Keenum presented himself as a nice guy who seemed somewhat sure of himself, but wasn't quite sure of his place, right? And knew he had something to prove. And sometimes when you get that mixed in with a guy that's just kind of a nice guy, they don't know how to carry themselves. They don't know how to do it. And he struggled. And let's be real about it. Not all of Case Keenum's struggles last year were Case Keenum's problems. There were a lot of things going on with this football team. But it was very clear that it wasn't a good fit. Joe Flacco doesn't have anything to prove to anybody because he's won a Super Bowl. He's been the guy, like you said. He has put himself into a conversation of, is he an elite quarterback or is he not an elite quarterback? Nobody says that about Case Keenum. And I think most people will tell you they don't think that Joe Flacco's an elite quarterback. But the one thing that he is he's a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl winning quarterback, a guy who has commanded respect in another team's huddle. And so I think he brings himself into the Broncos with that confidence that somebody like him can have. Whether that will translate onto the field or not, I don't really know. You know, I hope so. I think they've got a good coaching staff. And we're pretty excited about it. And I think that he could be a solid football player. And with the defense that's being built on the other side of the ball, he's going to be able to breathe a little easier as the quarterback, because some of those mistakes that he might make just by being in a new uniform and a new stadium and having some of those, you know, young guys around him and a new system in Denver, they're going to be mitigated, I think, by the fact that the defense is going to correct those mistakes by creating mistakes for the other team's offense. So there's a sense that things are on the upswing in Denver right now, at least in my opinion. I'm sure you can find a lot of people out there that think that Denver is you know, collapsing on themselves, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But no, I think Joe Flacco being with the Broncos, he may not be an elite quarterback, but he is, like you said, the guy. And that's something that I think that this offense needs, is somebody who can step in and say, look, this is my team. Let's go.
And with me, ever since the trade, I have said that it's just the first piece. Let's see the other moves that Elway adds to the 2019 puzzle. And he's added some great pieces, and we'll get into that. But I'm getting excited about Joe Flacco because of the way that I saw him conduct himself in that news conference and the things that he said. As a former athlete, when I see somebody step up and you can see that determination, you can see that fire, and you can see that confidence, that's going to rub off on other people. And I think what happened to him in Baltimore, and even he said that if what has happened to him in the past is his determination, then that's going to rub off. It's going to weigh in a way that it's not going to last. It's not a lasting way to be a great player. You got to have that internal drive. It's got to come from within you and wanting to be great. I think fans are starting to buy into that as well, that he can be the guy because he has been the guy. And I think in this offense, when you pair him with Rich Scangarello, which is a similar offense to the one that he ran with Kubiak, it's going to be different. But you add the defense and you add the coaching staff. I think it's clear, and I've said this, you've said it, John Elway is all in on this team, not only competing in the AFC West, but in the AFC. And the way Joe Flacco played before he got hurt, he was playing really well before he got hurt. Yeah. So it's not like he hasn't done it. So it's just, it's exciting again. It's fun to not talk about a quarterback controversy. It's fun to not talk about a head coach who shouldn't be the head coach. It's fun to not talk about a quarterback and trying to convince ourselves that he's going to be the quarterback. It's exciting that let's see what happens, that it doesn't feel forced. That's the whole point that I'm trying to get at with Flacco and where the Broncos are going with this 2019 season, is it doesn't feel forced. And that's what it's felt like the last 3 years.
That's a great way to say that. Ever since Peyton Manning retired, right? We just talked about Peyton Manning and his sort of glorious run in Denver. Well, ever since he retired after winning the Super Bowl in 2015, everything has, I don't want to say it's been downhill, but that word that you use, that forced word, right? There was this idea that they were going to be just as good without Peyton Manning as they were with Peyton Manning because he was on, the downside of his career, and that last season of his was pretty awful, I think it's safe to say. And so it was sort of this forced notion that they're still going to be good. You know, Mark Sanchez is going to come in and carry the team. Well, then he didn't even make the team, and it was going to be Paxton Lynch, and then they didn't play Paxton Lynch, and Trevor Siemian was going to be good. He's the heir apparent. He's the arm of the gods. And then it was this forced notion all the way through. And there really was nothing that Elway could do as far as like free agents and drafts and things like that that was going to fix anything. And you end up with Vance Joseph as the coach and this leader of men BS that got bandied about and some of the stuff that happened over the last couple of years with him as the head coach. That word is perfect. It was just, everything was forced. This doesn't feel forced, but it feels forceful. Okay? It feels purposeful. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add in something here that I think is important. when you look at what John Elway has done over the last few weeks or the last few days in free agency, last week and then in, and then after, you know, before we recorded last week and then after we recorded last week, John Elway started free agency pretty slow because he didn't sign anybody right away on the first day of free agency. But then as the day moved on, he picked up Kareem Jackson and Juwan James. And that was good. And then you said something before we started recording that I think is a perfect description of this. We got done, we recorded, we got done, and then that weekend, the Broncos signed Bryce Callahan. And that is the move that put everything over the top. That's the move that took people like me, who were still a little apprehensive, I think most people in Broncos country were, saying, okay, yeah, you got these two guys, that's fine. Okay, this is a good free agency class. The defensive backfield is now as solid as it could possibly be. And you've got a right tackle. I think John Elway, at least on paper, and I think that it's safe to say you have to include that, John Elway on paper knocked it out of the park with these three signings. And Bryce Callahan, like you said, he's the guy that puts it over the top. He's the guy that makes everybody in Broncos country go, wow, it's going to be a pretty good defense. Nice job, John.
And I think it's time that the secondary get a new nickname, because I've seen a lot of no-fly zone 2.0, and even Bryce Callahan said that, yeah, but we want our own attitude. So I posed a couple of options to you, and the one that I think fits perfectly because it ties into the way that Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell want their secondary to play, the Mile High Hit Squad. And it also ties into the Mafia, which it seems like it's running rampant since Fangio is considered the godfather and all the Italianos now coaching with the Broncos.
Italianos.
And how everyone, it seems like you need to end your name with a vowel to be able to coach or play for the Broncos. So to me, the nickname for this secondary has to be the Mile High Hit Squad.
Yeah, you know, I've done a little thinking about that because, you know, you sent me the question. I came up with the Syndicate. I kind of like the Syndicate because that's a little less obvious. What was the other one? There was the Hit Squad. There was the Syndicate. I thought about Murder, Inc., that kind of stuff. But I almost feel like what's going to happen is that they're going to get out onto the field and they're going to earn a nickname. And I think the Hit Squad is a great place to start. But I really do think that they are going to earn a nickname because of the way that they play on the field. I mean, let's just face it. The reason the no-fly zone was called the no-fly zone is because they didn't give up passing yards. Nobody scored any touchdowns on that secondary, and they didn't give up any passing yards. And they were legitimately one of the best defensive backfields in the history of the game. And they knew it. Every time they went on the field, they were the best unit on the field. And so the no-fly zone just fit with what they were doing. I'll be curious to see if they, you know, sort of take on that role or that mantra of the Hit Squad, which I think is a good nickname, or if they end up sort of falling into another place. I love nicknames. I think it's great. I hope they crush people. You know, I hope that they actually do some pretty big hitting, and then they'll fit right into that.
Well, the reason that I think it's perfect is because it pays homage to two of the best hitting safeties in the history of football, in Dennis Smith and Steve Atwater. So Steve Atwater is a part of the organization. He's involved in the fan involvement, fan engagement. He's also part of Origin Blue 760. So
he is the smiling assassin, right?
It ties into exactly the way that this secondary is going to play, not just Chris Harris Jr., Kareem Jackson, and Bryce Callahan, but Justin Simmons and Will Parks. They both lay the wood on guys. It's the way Vic Fangio wants them to play. So to me, it's perfect, and it pays homage to the past. So from henceforth, it's the Mile High Hit Squad.
I like it. Well, what we're going to do right now with the Mile High Hit Squad is we're going to plop out this ad real quick and expect it to perform. And then, you know, we'll be back.
Hey, Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're back. Great ad. That was. I'm going to buy that or listen to it. I think whatever it is.
It should have been a Mile High Hit Squad ad.
Yeah, that would be cool. We should try and figure that out. I want to go back to something sort of. I'm not really. I guess I'm not going back to it, but I want to bring it up. And it's this idea that has been permeating throughout the NFL in recent weeks about John Elway's ability to. I don't know, GM, I suppose, as a general manager, is John Elway any good at his job? And, you know, we talked about Peyton Manning being brought in by John Elway, and people give Peyton Manning more credit than they do John Elway for that 2014 free agency class with Aqib Talib and DeMarcus Ware. And it's interesting because if you look at that and then you look at what happened this year, I think it actually shows that John Elway knows what he's doing when he's putting together a football team. There's just only so much you can do. And the big, you know, sort of knock on him is his inability to find a quarterback. You know, finding a quarterback isn't like going to the grocery store and picking out a carton of eggs where you just open it up and go, oh, there's a broken one and they're not going to take that one. You actually have to evaluate the talent, and then that talent has to pan out. And there's mental, physical, there's all kinds of aspects. There's so many variables. And so it's not an exact science. And I think he got burned with the Paxton Lynch pick. I think he got burned with Trevor Siemian. And Case Keenum was the guy who he brought in to sort of, I don't know, bridge the gap or something. And Case Keenum ended up not being the Case Keenum of Minnesota. And so he takes a lot of hits, right? John Elway as a GM has taken his lumps because of his inability to find a quarterback. But I actually tweeted this out. Maybe he can't find a quarterback because he was just a great quarterback, but he finds really good defensive backs. And he's really good at finding the cornerback. Maybe as a great quarterback, he's just better at evaluating cornerbacks because that's who he was always up against. And so, you know, maybe by that logic, he needs to have Champ Bailey come in and evaluate quarterbacks for him. I don't know. That's, you know, or Louis Wright could come in and do that. You pick your Bronco great on that one. But John Elway has gone out this offseason during this free agency period, and I think, in my opinion, on paper, and I'm going to say on paper because you never know what's going to happen on the field when the season starts, but on paper, he has again proven that he's actually pretty good at his job.
When you couple that with the coaching staff that he has paired with Vic Fangio, and I think Vic Fangio is the one who probably hired this coaching staff, but the first piece to that was Vic Fangio. That's what I think makes fans excited, is because, as we've said from the very beginning, you can tell the guy loves to teach. You can tell he loves to get deep into the details, and I mean, that whole death by inches. And that's what gets me so excited. I mean, there is another video, excuse me, on the Broncos Twitter feed about him touring Broncos Stadium at Mile High for the first time. And he said that his goal is to make the players better on the field and off the field. It's the latest example of why Vic Fangio gets people so excited. It's the complete antithesis of Vance Joseph, who good for was a good soundbite
and nice, good practices. And a nice meme here and there and a fun GIF, right? Or GIF. Is it GIF or GIF?
GIF.
Okay, but the guy who invented him says it's a GIF.
Well, he's wrong.
Love that. How can you be the inventor of something and give it a name and then be wrong about what the name is?
Because you don't know English.
Well, no, G-I makes a soft J sound, right? Like a J.
It's GIF.
Yeah, GIF. Or is it a GIF?
See, I got confused.
Yeah, see? I won because you
and
got confused.
I confused you. I know. It's a GIF.
It's a GIF. It's a, you know what it is? It's a little video thing that plays over and over again so that you can make fun of things.
What's great is that if you want a GIF of Vic Fangio, all you got to do is get ones of The Godfather.
That's true. That's true. So, you could make them an offer they can't refuse, I suppose.
I think I see what you did there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's what gets me excited is Vic Fangio and this coaching staff. And because you think about Vic Fangio, who's going to be able to man the outside linebackers, which is his specialty. Ed Donatell, who's going to coach the whole, he's the defensive coordinator, will help out with the secondary along with Ronaldo Hill. You still have Bill Kolar. Mike Munchak is the offensive line coach. Rich Scangarello is, I think, the unknown because you're not really sure what the offense is going to look like. But it's going to probably mimic Kyle Shanahan's and Mike Shanahan's and Gary Kubiak's and so on and so forth.
Sure, the tree.
But I think with this free agency class, I think it's his third best. I think the first was Peyton Manning. I think the second was DeMarcus Ware, Keeb Tlaib, T.J. Ward, and Emmanuel Sanders. And I think this one is his third. I think it's his third best, and I think it has potential to match that class of 2014.
Yeah, I agree.
So it really is exciting, and I think the key now is it opens up so many possibilities for the draft. Because prior to Joe Flacco, it seemed like everyone was, well, they're going to have to either take a quarterback at 10 or they're going to trade up to get a quarterback. Now, I think they're going to go with best player available. They're going to stand pat at 10, and who I think there is going to be a great player that falls to them at 10. Whether it's on the level of Bradley Chubb falling to 5, there's potential. Because there's already talk of Quinnen Williams from Alabama.
Oh, you wanted me to say it.
Yeah.
Alabama. Sorry. Are you going to say it? Say it. Do you not know where he's from? I didn't want to just step all over your toes. I should have. I'm sorry. My bad.
There's already talk of him dropping. Can you imagine Quinnen Williams with Vic Fangio in the middle? Because that's what they've missed since Malik Jackson went to Jacksonville.
Sure. Yeah.
So there is going to be a great player. It may not be Devin White. I don't think Devin White's going to get past Tampa Bay. But Devin Bush is another Vic Fangio linebacker, 3-down linebacker, athletic.
Yeah.
In the mold of Danny Trevathan, maybe a little bit faster, a little bit quicker. Or Quinnen Williams or Ed Oliver. Or if he's there, Drew Lock or Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins would be my preference of the two quarterbacks there. You know how I feel about that. He's the best quarterback in this draft.
And if you wanted to get some sort of indication of where the Broncos might go with the number 10 pick 5 weeks out from the draft, and you went to Mike Kliss, this is what he said in his story on Wednesday. At this point, it would be a surprise if the Broncos took a QB with their number 10 overall pick. Flacco is their guy, and the team has too many other starter needs. However, it would also be a surprise if the Broncos didn't take a quarterback before the draft concludes. Then again, you never know with Broncos general manager John Elway, especially when the draft is still 5 weeks away. So, if you're looking for any kind of headway on where the Broncos will go at number 10, you're probably more confused than you were before I read that.
Yeah, so I actually said this to you before we started recording. I think that is the most Reagan thing he's ever said. And one of the things, if you don't know who Ronald Reagan is, he was the president of the United States from, 1981 to 1989. And he was the master of saying a whole bunch of stuff and not saying anything at all. He could just talk, and eventually he'd get done and you'd be like, yeah, wait, what? Did he just say he didn't say anything. I think maybe that's what Kliss was going for, because he literally just said nothing. And he didn't say it. He wrote it, but still, there was nothing in that.
I think it highlights that they are going to go best player available. However the board falls, and I've been saying this ever since word came of the Flacco trade, that they are going to draft best player available. They're not pigeonholed into anything. They're going to let the board fall where it may. And if Quinnen Williams falls, if Oliver falls, if Devin White gets past Tampa Bay, if Devin Bush is there, if it's Haskins or if it's Locke, speaking of which, it was reported that both of those quarterbacks are going to have visits with the Broncos. So Haskins is scheduled to visit the Broncos, and Drew Locke is going to have a pre-draft visit with the Broncos. I think that's like the 50th time they're going to meet with Drew Locke.
They really need to keep meeting with Drew Locke. You know, it's interesting, though. All of the stuff that you've just said about the draft is set up by the success that John Elway had in this free agency class, in his ability to fill some of those holes that were pretty glaring, right? This free agency class, the way that John Elway and Vic Fangio went about, you know, signing guys and finding guys to fit their schemes and that will make sense on this team, it did exactly what you just said it did. It opened up the draft. The draft is now wide open to the Denver Broncos. They can do whatever they want. If they stand pat at 10 and take best player available, that's exactly what they should do. If they want to trade back and go draft capital, I wouldn't hate that either, because they could start building draft capital and start looking towards the future and maybe looking far enough into the future for me to be happy about the 2021 draft. We'll see. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself.
But how about if the pick before the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pick, and I think Tampa picks 7th, is that right?
I think that's right. I would have to look that one up, but it sounds right to me.
So if Devin White is there at 6,
okay,
does John Elway move 4 spots up to get Devin White and keep him from going to Tampa?
Ooh. Well, I guess, you know what? To me, that's all about what you get in return, or what you're giving up, I should say. Because you're obviously giving up the 10th pick in the draft. And then what are you giving up? Is it a later round pick in 2019? Is it a late round pick in 2020? Is it an early round pick in 2020?
So, I'd say it's a mid-round pick in 2020.
See, now that to me might be worth it to trade up and get your guy. If he's your guy and you know you want him, a mid-round pick next year and the 10th pick this year for the guy that you absolutely know you want, why not? As long as you're not giving up anything that's too valuable, of course. I think that's perfectly fine. I mean, we're not talking about trading Von Miller here, because that's ridiculous.
No, we're not the fan.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I just want to get that out there. We are not talking about trading Von Miller because we don't say stupid things. That's not true. We say stupid things all the time, just things that aren't that stupid.
I guess that's a good thing.
Is it?
I think so. We're not professionals.
Well, are we semi-pro?
We're doctors.
We're just practicing.
We stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
Oh my gosh. How far down the rabbit hole are we going to take this?
Probably not as far as last week when we were talking about tennis.
You know, my dad, the old man, really appreciated that segment. He thought that our tennis conversation...
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio.
I think it was the
beginning. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.